Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to David Arnett Cherry and Hummingbird Organic Nation Listening Club. You know, you have to dig it to dig it.
Thank you.
Creator. As we awakened from the indigo sky of dreams, illuminated by the stars, and step into the light of dawn, rise up, be lifted in prayer as the sun rises in the east. Receive the gift that the east brings forth every day. Let us open our hearts and accept energy for the renewal of life. The warmth of spirit, trust, beauty, vision, truth, hope for all humanity. Rise up as the sun rises from the east. Be joyful, share these gifts with the people in our lives and those who we don't know. Let us lift our voices up to the Creator. Resist those who speak of war and destruction. Talk about peace, only peace. Walk the labyrinth of peace. Resist war. Speak up. Speak out. Fear not. Be courageous. Stand strong in the indigo light of divine love. Rise up like the sun rises in the east. Aquani.
That was very, very pretty. Good morning, Organic Nation. Listening Club, we have a treat again. Another Saturday morning. Let's say good morning to our host, David Arnett Cherry. But we have
good morning.
An awesome guest. And I'm going to let David start off with announcing her. I'm over here in awe because she's so accomplished, and I'm so grateful to be in the midst. So, David, take the honors to go ahead and run down this list of wonderful things she has done and announce our wonderful guest.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Penny Gamble Williams, she's just an artist, activist. She's all over the map and does many things. Like I said, we go way, way back. Pretty much in the 80s, I think, Penny.
Definitely,
when we played
yes.
our first gig at the trolley stop with Mark, your son Mark. But she, and then we've been playing some music together, but she's an incredible drummer.
She's
been
to. Come on, she got, she's an artist, an activist. I've been seeing her do a producer. She's awesome. I wanted to read all of her accomplishments, but we'll probably be here a long time doing that. She is just, it's just an honor. It really is an honor to talk with someone that's so accomplished and seemed to be so, when I just speaking with her that short time behind the scenes seems like so easy to talk with, but it is just, I'm like over here with my mouth open, y'all. And I keep I must live in a bubble because I've missed all of these things. But these are just like, I was like, oh my God, I got to follow her. I got to find her stuff. This is awesome, Penny. I am so happy, happy, happy to talk with you, an African American woman. And then you are also a Native American. So that makes it like you got stories from both sides of the fence, and it's just great. I'm grateful to be here. I really am. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you all for having me here to share my journey. You know, it's always a pleasure.
Yes.
You're incredible. And it's good to have both Hummingbird with you. But if you have a question for her, what would be your first question?
I have
question,
100 questions, but I'll be all day. Wow. I have many questions.
Just talk to us, Penny. We at all with you because we excited. So talk to us. What you doing?
What am I doing? it's interesting. I do a lot of things, and I think it's because I'm a Pisces with a Gemini moon, so I'm always like in sometimes slow motion, but always moving and reflecting and thinking. And I guess I've been like that all my life. My mother was always trying to figure out, well, where is she now? You know, but I just like to be, you know, plugged into this universal force. I mean, this life that we've been given, and just use what I have to share, you know, share my thoughts, my journey, you know, just sharing. It's
but
really,
you come
life
from
about
like
sharing
from you out of New England, right? Up in there, right?
Yeah.
The Native American up in there.
Well, my roots are Providence, Rhode Island. That's where I was born and raised.
Providence, up in there. Wow.
Right. And my mother's people are the Wampanoag, Chappaquiddick Wampanoag. So most of her family on her father's side came from that little tiny island, which is connected to Martha's Vineyard. So there are Wampanoags who are there, the Aquinna Wampanoag, who occupy the western part of Martha's Vineyard. And So those are my roots on that side of the family, and I was very connected to those roots growing up, and that was something that my mother really wanted me to understand and to experience through the elders, her aunties, who were elders and elderly when I was growing up, you know, and I would just sit at their feet and try to hear everything and listen and, you know, absorb the essence of who they are. And they were just regular people, you know, trying to make a living and trying to hold on to their senses of who they, you know, who they are, who they were at that time, and who the people were, even though there was assimilation and all of those things. But there was always that spark. You know, that, you know, we're Wampanoag. And so that was embedded in me.
Wow.
Basically,
that's incredible.
Wow.
And my father's side, you know, my father from Birmingham, Alabama, shared so much of his life with me growing up, and also spending a lot of time with his grandparents that lived in a little place called New Bern, Alabama. And he used to talk about, you know, gathering the pecans from the pecan tree and, you know, the peaches, because they had a peach orchard, and just having fun with all of his cousins. He was the oldest, and there were lots of cousins, and the grandparents loved having them there in the summer. And so I would just hear my father talk about, you know, his life, and then his life as a musician, and the tough road that musicians had during that time of, you know, segregation, and what it was like growing up in Birmingham, Alabama, you know. So I, you know, I'm a kid growing up in Providence, Rhode Island, where there are lots of things happening Right. But to hear what was going on, because my father was very vocal about some of the things and his experiences, you know, traveling around the country in the band that he was a part of, the Cootie Williams band and orchestra. So I would listen to those stories.
So you were Cootie Williams?
Oh, yeah. That was my father's
cousin.
Well,
I didn't
cousin.
Know that one.
Cootie,
that's you,
my
that's
relative.
You
Yeah.
Okay. Now I got connected. I'm sorry if, you know, we've been knowing each other.
Hey,
I think
it's great. It's like sitting. It's like sitting at a table and you're eating and you guys are reconnecting and everything. And I'm like sitting here with my hands, head in my hands, just looking at both of you guys, just excited. This is awesome, Penny. You had a radio show as well.
Yes. I did radio from time to time before I actually got a radio show. So I co-produced some programs on one of the stations, a Pacifica station here in the D.C. area back in the 90s, and was also a part of one of their programs called Sophie's Parlor. And then I was gifted with a radio program, and that just opened up a lot of channels in terms of meeting people and reaching out to hear stories that other people had about what was going on in their lives, their communities. And so it started out as the Indigenous Circle. And I had a co-host, Zani Matama, who's a good friend of mine, you know, one of my sister friends. And so we were able to do a lot with this program, and then we were fortunate enough to be a part of XM Satellite Radio for a few years. So,
wow.
You know, a lot of good things happened, and I love radio, always did. So it was really exciting to have, you know, my own program. And then my husband, Thunder Williams, he joined me as a co-host and co-producer.
Wow.
And we stayed on the air for like almost 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Incredible.
That is incredible. Wow.
No, this man, this sister, and you know, I'm just overwhelmed sometimes, because you always learn things about people and stuff like that. And
it's always
nice to see you across the stage. Like,
oh, that was always really great to work with you, because mm-hmm. you, my friend, your mm-hmm. love of music, how you interpret, how you are able to get the music out of people, it's just really incredible. So I learned so much just being on the stage with you. And,
wow.
you know, I just really appreciate you so much, you know, your music, your talent, your passion. And so it was always whenever you would call and say, hey, I'm in town. Do you want to, you know, get together for a rehearsal? It's like, yes, where, when, and how soon?
Wow.
It's a long journey. What we doing here, we listening to the Organic Nation Listening Club with Hummingbird and our guest, which we are very blessed to have, is Penny Gamble Williams. And I'm going to play a little bit of more of your music, and we're going to come back and talk about, get deeper into this next section. But let me just play another piece of yours, because I'm discovering some pieces I didn't even never heard before. So it's been a good journey for me. So let's just do this thing. Let me just throw this out there. To the people out there, the Organic Nation Listening Club, we're going to listen to more of Penny Gamble Williams' music, and then we can come back and thank you guys, and let's do it. Here we go.
Hear the story being told by the ancestors. Feel the rhythm and the heartbeat of Mother Earth as your feet touch the fertile ground. Dance. And sing the songs of nature. Listen to the ocean as the waves watch the gifts from the grandmothers and grandfathers, then we know that we are one with all Ki, Mother Earth.
Saturday morning.
It's awesome for a Saturday morning. Very nice.
Oh, shoot.
Wow.
Well, I have to give thanks to the Great Spirit for the words that that I was able to put on paper, you know, these poems that come to me. But I have to thank my son, Mark Carey, for, you know, hearing the music and being able to produce and create, you know, a melody that came to my mind and make it happen. So basically Mark produced the music and made it happen.
That's Mark. Mark is, man, he's bad.
That was really cool.
Hummingbird Mark is, I'm going to send you some music of Mark, and Mark is bad,
okay.
But it comes out of where he comes from, you know, it's incredible. He's one of the great musicians to me. I remember seeing him when he was like 17, and I said, he's like an Art Tatum, or, you know, he's like that.
you don't get to see me way back. So, wow,
yeah,
this is just a dream.
In D.C., you've been to D.C., you know, in D.C.
Right,
it's got
right.
footsteps, footprints, you know.
Right. Wow.
So, Penny, I'm going to let Hummingbird talk to you about what are some issues that you guys can talk about today, political issues, anything. Hummingbird, you have anything that you would like to talk about?
You know, you always start with the political thing. I was just talking crazy the other morning about things that I believe. But you know what? I was looking at so many. Oh, I did. Sorry, I'm going around and jumping around, but I wanted to tell David about the black cop. They did give him jail time. Remember I was telling you that the black cop here in Texas had shot and killed a young man. He was a Mexican-American citizen, but I don't know if he thought he was going to be in the same category as a white cop that's been getting away with murder, but he did not. Now there's another one that's going to be on stand. My question is to Penny, since you have had generations of living through a lot of the things that we're talking about now in the year of 2018, 2017, 2016, that I assume back in the 1950s and the 40s had gone away, but now it's gotten even worse because we have our police officers, the ones that we believe that's supposed to be here to protect us, that's killing us, and they're doing it wide openly, and nothing is being done. I mean, through all of the generations that you've seen this with African American as well as Native American, what kind of any type of information you can share with us about what you've seen and what we're seeing now?
Wow. What we're seeing now is, I think it was predicted a long time ago that these times would happen and there would be an awakening, because we are in a period of time where we are awakening to all of these things that we have to pay attention to and, you know, excavate to get to the truth. And so we are seeing the truth right now. We are dealing with people who have lost their humanity. We are dealing with people who don't value life. They're confused. They've been brainwashed. And they end up with a gun and a badge. And all of their insecurities, all of their, you know, prejudice, everything kind of comes out. And this is the society that we're living in. And it's been building up and building up and building up. I mean, you know, when there are wars and unrest, civil unrest, you know, the civil rights of people have always, there's always been an issue with the civil rights of people, you know, from racism, sexism, all of the isms. This is just the manifestation of the imbalance that we're experiencing. So, I mean, I was experiencing the civil rights movement and listening to my father and watching him react to the hoses that were, you know, being aimed at people, the lunch counters where these restaurants would not allow black people or any person of color, you know, to sit and eat. I mean, all of these things that happened, all of these, I guess the fight to be, the fight to say we exist, you know, we are people, you know, as the saying goes, I am a man, you know, ain't I a woman? All of these things. I mean, that was a total awakening. And so we have to keep our, as they say, our eyes on the prize. We have to understand that there are things that we absolutely have to resist and we have to speak up and speak out on these things, the police brutality and the people who are in denial, you know, who might be up there on Capitol Hill that don't think that it's as bad as it is. I mean, we have to kind of ignore that and just make sure that it doesn't happen anymore.
The Trump administration cares when it comes to that. My surprise is the fact that we have police officers of many colors that are attacking people of color. It's not always African-American. But my thought was if a white cop or Caucasian police officer is able to get away with strangling someone to death or shooting someone in the back and then tossing a gun and the grand jury don't see it, this black cop, I don't say he's right because of his color. I'm just trying to get the mindset of the administration, of the mindset of what the grand juries are set up for. Who picks these people? Because I'm trying to figure out, you see a thing, you visualize it. Now, the kid was breaking into his car, and he shouldn't have used deadly force. He was a police officer. Why is it so? And this person was a person of color. He may not have been African American, the kid that died, but he was Hispanic. He was of darker skin. My question is why did they look away from the fact that he was a police officer and saw his color and still put him in jail? And we have watched our young people die at the hand of Caucasian police officers that goes to the grand jury, that's on film, and nothing is happening. I don't understand it.
Well,
I don't get it.
It's a mindset that some people have settled into it. They ignore the facts. They ignore the truth. They're blinded by, you know, prejudice and racism. And I mean, look, some police officers who also killed Black and Native people are not always white, and they've also gotten
That's
away
true.
With it. So, you know, this is just a flaw in the system. This is a sickness in society, and, you know, those of us who want to resist that and stand up against all of these things that are happening, you know, we have to arm ourselves spiritually and, you know, work collectively to help make the shift.
Right.
And shift the energy. But see, you know, in this Western society, this Western construct, many times people, young people don't always get the nurturing and the food that they need. And I'm not talking about, you know, food on the table. I'm talking about that spiritual food, that spiritual understanding or knowing who they are and why they're here. We come here to do good, to do things, to experience things and to share. But that's not how the society works. And these are the results. These are the results. If you don't tell people about their worth and their value, if you don't guide people to that space where, you know, they can understand what their purpose is, then this is, we're looking at it. We're looking at people who don't have that spiritual value and that value for life. That's my opinion, and that's how I'm seeing it. That's the lens in which I am. You know, I've had to make sense out of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so this is what I see. This is what I see. And this is what I feel.
That's true. I mean, it's so true. It's really true, and it's unfortunate, but it's so true. And we're going through a generation of children. Unfortunately, hopefully we can get a handful that will make a difference. But we're going through a generation of kids that seem like they don't care about education. They don't care about themselves. We got young women that not really knowing what their worth is. And so I'm thinking 20 years from now, you're going to be running this country. Or, you know, it's just, I don't know. I can't blame it on the school system because it starts at home. It's just, it's amazing to me because I have grandkids. I have a gaggle of them. And I'm always out with them. I want to know what they know. I want to know what they see. I want to be involved. I want to be able to guide. But, you know, it's amazing how much influence the world have over your children and even your grandchildren. I'm at a distance because I'm grandmother. So I'm not there all the time. I'm there just for the steady hand and to keep, you know, sometimes the peace and be able the children to understand their children. My children understand their children, and that's amazing that the grandmother. It's just, I'm seeing some things that I'm really disappointed in, you know?
Yeah, it's hard.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give a shout out there that we are the Organic Nation Listening Club. We're listening to Hummingbird and Penny Gamble Williams, David Arnett Cherry, and we're going to have to wrap this up. We can spend more time, but we're almost out of time. So, so you guys should make your last statements, and then we're gonna get back to some music, and then we may have to. We're gonna get Penny back on.
Yes,
we come back.
Honor, Penny.
We got to get Penny back on. So, what is
I'd
your
love
last
to pick
statement?
Your brain. I'd love to pick your brain, Penny. I would love to talk to you. I'm going to, if you have any type of social media that I can follow, I can send something out, I would love to ask some things about. I think you are incredible. It's been an honor for me. Believe you me, I'm just, I've never been a loss for word. I could talk forever, girl, but you are so, oh my God. I got to find some media stuff. Thank you for showing up.
Well, thank you.
You can call her anytime. I give you the number. But she's always got her window open. But Any last word? I'm going to ask Penny first. Any last words you want to say?
That was my last word, was asking Penny if I could keep in touch with her. But go ahead.
Okay, that's
yes,
your last word.
You
okay, Penny, what is your last word? Because I got some more music for you.
Awakening our spirit is very important, and you know, because we are all on a journey and we're walking the spiral road, you know, and sometimes we have to go back, retrace our steps, and then pick out the knowledge and information that will help us move forward and use the gifts that we have, whether it's music, poetry, teaching, helping, guiding, whatever it is. We have to encourage people to find what is within and to make it happen, because we're all on this journey together. In some way, we are connected. We're connected to everything in this universe, and the universe is vast, and we just have to reach out and embrace it. And the most important thing is love. So that's what I have to share.
I love it. There you have it. The Organic Nation Listening Club. We're gonna get her back pretty soon, you know. But it is African American History Month, which I always love because I think it's refocusing you for the year and stuff like that. So you're on the we have Hummingbird, Penny Gamble, Williams, Hummingbird, David Arnett Cherry. And I'm just going to get back to the music, and we'll come back next week. And we're going to come back next week, but let's just do this thing,
yes.
And let's just continue with the music. And here we go. It's right here.
Standing on the edge of a dream.
Penny Gamble.
Look for the familiar.
I love your
new
music. Here we go.
I bask in the nothingness of possibilities. The canvas of my mind is clear and ready for the colors and the rhythms of life. I create willingly, with loud abandonment. The red blends with the yellow that blends with the violet and purple that drifts into the indigo sky. Silver moon dust brushes the surface of nothing and turns into a new chapter of life, moving me and directing me through the soul of my existence. I stand on the edge of a dream and watch the familiar and the new and bask in the richness of trance. Formation.
You're listening to Organic Nations Listening Club with hosts Hummingbird and David Arnett Cherry. Let's do this thing.